The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Take your Bibles and if you would please turn to the book of Ephesians this morning. Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And we'll begin reading this morning in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless now the preaching of the word. Please use me as your vessel and as your instrument to accomplish your purpose for us being here. Pray that you'd search our hearts, and that we would allow you to have free reign, that we, for these next several minutes, as an act of worship, would allow you to speak to our heart, and we would be listening for your direction and your guidance and for that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. I pray if there's one here today without Christ, that you would bring conviction to their heart, to their soul. They realize that without Christ there is no hope. This would be the day they'd call upon Jesus and be gloriously saved. For we ask all these things now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the title to the message is The Renewing of Your Mind. It's really, the thought comes from verse number 23, that we be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Last week I preached to you out of John chapter number 5, where Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which speak of me." And it was a very simple message. There was just three points to that message and the admonition of Jesus to serve the Scriptures, that there is the plan of God and there was the purpose of God, and in that verse there is the person of God. And the Scriptures, God gave us His Word. And so the Scriptures are what bring us to a saving knowledge. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we sit under the preaching of the Word of God, or somehow the Word of God is presented to us, and then the Word of God in conjunction with the Spirit of God brings conviction to our heart. We call upon Jesus and we accept Him as our Savior. But this morning I'm preaching really with regards to you and I that have received Christ as our Savior. And as we grow in the Lord and as we allow the Spirit of God to guide us and to direct us, and the importance of replacing really the old with the new. Look at verse 22, for instance, that you put off concerning the former conversation. That word means behavior, the old man. And then in verse 24, that you put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. And right in the middle of those two verses is the verse I just mentioned, that we're renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we're saved instantaneously when we accept Christ as our Savior, but we grow in the Lord over a period of time as we walk with the Lord. So I want you to see that this morning. And the renewing of our mind. And real quickly, just notice that God uses, and I'm not preaching on it this morning, but by way of introduction, notice in verses 11 and 12, the scriptures say that there was apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And what were they there for? Men were used for the perfecting or for the maturing of the saints, the maturing of you and I, and for the work of the ministry, and to build up the body of Christ. And then he also, we're reminded here that there's a maturity as we grow and our minds are renewed. So we sit under the preaching and teaching, we begin to grow. But in verses number 13 and 14, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or a mature man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. In other words, we're growing in the Lord. We're growing individually, we're growing together. And then the admonition in verse 14, that we're not like children. We're not tossed to and fro and back and forth in the faith, because we've matured, we've grown. We're not carried about by this wind of doctrine and by that wind of doctrine, because we have an understanding of the Scriptures by the cunningness of men or the sleight of men. And then there's that message in verses 15 and 16, speaking the truth in love, and we grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So the truth in love, it's an interesting word there. I put it on your handout. That word, it actually in the Greek language, it's one word. And it would be truthing in love. The simple, unvarnished truth. The representation of things as they are. And not only being truthful in word, but being truthful in deed. Your thoughts, your actions, your attitude as we grow in the truth of God's Word. The Word of God, the truth of God's Word. There was a story told of a time ago where there was a ship and a ship's captain who looked out into the dark one night while he was at sea, and he saw a light, and as he saw that light, it was directly in their path. And he instructed his signalman to send a message. And the message said this to the other light. He said, alter your course 10 degrees north. He wanted that other light to alter its course 10 degrees north. They were heading for a collision course. Well, the reply came, no, you alter your course 10 degrees south. Well, the ship's captain, he was really very upset about this. I mean, he sent the warning out, and he said that they needed to alter their course. So, having his message ignored, he sent another message. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm the ship's captain. Well, the reply came, alter your course 10 degrees south. I'm third-class seaman Jones. Well, now the captain, he's a third-class seaman, and he's telling me what to do? So the captain is outraged. He sends a third message. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm a battleship. Well, the message came back. alter your course 10 degrees south. I'm a lighthouse. The ship was on a collision course with the rocks. Didn't matter whether he was a battleship or not. He was headed in the wrong direction. The point of that is this. The truth of God's word, it's unchangeable. The truth of God's word, it is absolute. The truth of God's word, it is the same yesterday, it is the same today, and it will be the same tomorrow. God's word is unchanging. It doesn't matter who tries to change it and why they want to change it and what they... God's word, it's the same yesterday, it's the same today, and it will be the same tomorrow. You can't change the truth of God's word. So look again in verse 15 of our text. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Look at verse number 21. If so be that ye have heard of Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. Go back to, keep your finger, go back to chapter 1, look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The idea and the emphasis on the Word of God and the truth of God's Word and how important it is to us. It's not only important to us in order to be saved, because you're saved based on the truth of God's Word. But then, having accepted Christ as our Savior, it is vitally important that we accept His Word as truth as we grow and as we mature and as we walk in the Lord. If we don't, we're going to find ourselves really not fulfilling the plan that God has for our lives. So three things in the message this morning that I want to challenge us with. Number one is this, on the back of your handout. You and I, we can resist the truth, meaning God's word, but it does not change the truth. It does not change the truth. We recently saw the Supreme Court decide that they are going to change the truth of God's word, and they're going to define marriage as something other than the truth of God's word. And it doesn't matter that they've changed it in their own mind. God's word is true yesterday, today, and forever. Look what it says in verse 17. This I say therefore. And remember, whenever there's the therefore, it's there for a reason, because the Holy Spirit has now brought forth some truths, and we just looked at them, that we're supposed to be growing in the knowledge of the Lord. We're supposed to not be children tossed to and fro. We're supposed to speak the truth in love and grow up in Him in love and grow up in Him in truth. Therefore, the Bible says in verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So, you and I, as believers, let's be careful, because remember, Paul is writing here to believers in Ephesus. He's not writing to the unsaved, but he's trying to teach them, he's trying to get a point across to them. Be careful, he says, that you don't walk, that you don't live your life in the vanity of your own mind like lost people live their lives. The word vanity that's found here, it means a depravity, a foolishness, your own fancies. It's really an emptiness, or I guess the best word to describe it is our own imaginations. That we don't walk in our own imaginations. Paul said, be careful of that. Because that's how people think. That's how the unsaved think. They come up with their own thoughts. They come up with their own ideas. On your handout, I put for you Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Look what it says. And by the way, this is nothing new. People have always had their own thoughts, their own ideas. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So, when Paul writes this, he said, they knew God, but they got away from following the truth. You know, instead of man being made, there's nothing worse than when you reach this point. The idea is that you and I should be very grateful and very thankful that we have been made in the image of God. But you know what a vain imagination says? That we want God to be made in our image. We want to reverse it. We want God to be whatever we think God should be. We want God's precepts and God's the scriptures to be what we think that they should be. That we want them to move according to whatever our whims are, whatever our ideas are. We demand, like that ship's captain, you need to move 10 degrees south. Well, the lighthouse can't move anywheres. And God's word can't move anywhere. Because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But people, their own vain imaginations, their own thoughts. And when truth is forsaken in your life, and when truth is forsaken in my life, the errors begin to multiply. The errors multiply. When we get away from the truth of God's word, the errors begin to multiply. So it doesn't matter. You and I, we can resist. Well, it does matter. But you and I can resist the truth. It doesn't change the truth. But when we resist what God has said and the clear instruction of God, we're no different than lost people who have henceforth walked in their own vain imaginations. They just do their own thing. And we need to be very careful of that. Very careful of that. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we look at the word of God. We see what the word of God says. And then it's so important that you and I don't try to change the word of God. Oh, we would never be the ones that would take the Bible and just, well, we'll cross out this and rewrite it here, or we'll change this over here. We may not do that on a piece of, with a pen and a piece of paper, but we do it with our lives. And we need to be careful of that. So number one, I can resist the truth, you can resist the truth, but it doesn't change the truth. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And there in the book of Romans, they became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened, and they changed the truth of God into a lie. And so really what our Supreme Court did a few weeks ago is they changed the truth of God into a lie. But it doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change the truth. Secondly, I can read the truth, but it has very little impact upon my life. It has very little impact upon my life. Look what it says in verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now again, the Apostle Paul here, he is writing about unbelievers. And in just a minute, I'm going to transition from unbelievers to believers. And so we need to understand this, that a man who does not know Christ as their Savior is going to have a difficult time understanding the Scriptures as God has laid them out for us. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, that the natural man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There's a foolishness to the Word of God, to the things of God, because it takes the illumination of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us to understand and to learn the Scriptures and to be taught the Scriptures. And so we shouldn't be surprised sometimes when an unbeliever has a difficult time understanding what the Scriptures say. Because the Bible tells us that. They've been alienated. The word alienated there, it means to be separated from. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. There are those that say no to God and to the things of God. But for you and I as believers, it is possible for you and I to read the Scriptures and read the Scriptures regularly and for the Scriptures to have very little impact upon our lives. And that's because we let the callousness of this world creep into our lives. That's because we allow ourselves to become blind to the truth. That's because we decide to make God in our image rather than you and I being in God's image. And the Scriptures warn us of that. We're to walk in newness of life, but that life comes from Christ Himself. As we get away from Him and we don't follow His Word and we're not subject to His Word, it has an impact upon our lives. And so sometimes I run into people that say, you know, I read the Scriptures, I read them, but as a believer, I'm really not getting anything out of them. Well, it could mean just because you're resisting the truth that God has already laid out for you. And so be careful of that. Be careful you don't resist that you resist the truth, that your understanding becomes darkened, that your own ignorance leads you away from the truth of God's Word. Be careful of that. And sometimes our Christianity can become just a code that we live by. No, our Christianity is an interaction between you and the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And God speaking to you and guiding you and God challenging you and God directing you each and every day of your life. That's why I said last Sunday in the morning service, I said, unless you're spending time with God each and every day, you're going to have a difficult time to fulfill God's plan for your life. So be careful that you don't look at the Word of God and read the Word of God and the truth of God's Word, it has very little impact upon you. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth and crucified among you?" Who bewitched you? Who fascinated you so much that you've kind of lost your wits about you? And we live in a world today that's trying to gain our attention and draw us away from the things of God and draw us away from our walk with the Lord. Be careful of that. That we, not alienated positionally, but alienated practically from the Lord. There's a life that God wants us to live, and that life is to be manifested in and through Him. Let's not be like the unbeliever who have been darkened in their own ignorance from the truth of God's Word because of the blindness of their own hearts. The world is blind to the things of God. It's foolish to the things of God. The world hates the things of God. Be careful of that. And you know, it's the old, I'll give you another illustration, a ship illustration. You've heard the old illustration, if there's a course that has to be set, and you place yourself on that course, if you just get off that course just a little bit at the beginning, well, as you start out, the course may be going that way, and you may be kind of going that way. But the further you get away from the truth of God, and the further you get away, you reach a point that becomes wider and wider and wider and wider. You understand what I'm saying? You get further and further away. The longer you walk out of God's truth, the further you get away from the things of God. And so it's so important that we stay on track. It's so important that we stay on course. And when we resist the truth of God's Word, it doesn't change the course. The course has already been set. We get further away and further away. You can read the truth, and if you're not going to accept it as truth, it'll have very little impact upon your life. We get further away and we get further away. Be careful of that. We're bewitched by the world in which we live, by the vanity of our own minds, by the vanity of our own thinking. That's why the Bible tells us, the casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And we search the Scriptures, we look to the Scriptures, and what do the Scriptures say? But we live in a world that rejects the Scriptures. And then the Bible says this. The third option is that you and I can, we can relate to the truth, or we can receive the truth of God's Word, and it will transform our thinking. It'll change us to be conformed into the image of Christ. Verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, and that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." In other words, he says, listen, believers in Ephesus, this is not how you have been taught. This is not what you've been taught. This is not how you relate to your faith. You relate to your faith when you relate to Jesus Christ Himself and to His Word, and have been taught by Him, and the truth that is in Christ Jesus, the truth that is in His Word. You can relate to that truth and receive that truth, and it'll have an impact upon your life. It'll have a transforming impact upon your life. Look at chapter 1 and verse 19. Here's really the key to it transforming your life. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. The apostle writes to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead." The power of Christ resting upon us as we read the Word of God, as we allow the Word of God and we receive the Word of God and we're obedient to the Word of God, it is the power of Christ living in and through us that will transform our lives. It's His power, not our power. We don't do this on our own power. Look at chapter 3 and verse 17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." There is a power that God wants to work in us. That power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, but that power works in relationship to the Word of God. And most of you know chapter 6, and look at verse 10, where it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." It's the power of God. It's the ability of God. It's the strength of God. It's the work of God in and through us. What a wonderful thing. Not only do we do anything in our own lives to earn our salvation, but then the Lord says, listen, I want you to walk in newness of life. I want you to walk in love. I want you to walk circumspectly. I want you to walk by faith. But He says, I don't want you to do it on your own. I want you to do it with my power. I want you to do it with my strength. I want you to do it with me working in and through you. Wow. But for that to happen, we can't resist the truth. The power of God will never rest upon you. It'll never rest upon me when we resist the truth of God's Word. It won't. When we resist what God says, Ethan was teaching on this a little bit in his adult Sunday school class today, and then I had to leave to teach another class, my newcomer's class, but I was listening to him, and he was talking with regards to this. The power of God. A.W. Tozer said this, "Before the Word of God can mean anything inside of me, there must be obedience to the Word." And I like what he said. Truth will not give itself to a rebel. Truth will not give itself to a rebel. In other words, when you rebel against the truth of God's Word, you cannot expect the power of God to rest upon you. God's power is not going to rest upon you as you rebel against His Word. Or you pick and choose, well, I think I'll be obedient to this and I'll be obedient to that. Doesn't work that way. We've got to be careful of that. Do we have a desire to be guided by the truth of God and the things of God? It would be wonderful. It's probably never going to be, we're never going to realize this, but it'd be wonderful if our entire lives could be under the complete and total control of God's truth. And while we will probably never reach that point, we ought to strive for that. It's the power of God. The same power of God where Jesus laid in the grave for 3 days and rose from the dead 3 days later. It's the power of God. But truth will never give itself to a rebel. And oftentimes we find ourselves living an unsatisfied Christian life, wondering why God's Word just doesn't seem to mean anything. It just doesn't seem to be real. It just doesn't seem to have the power, or it just doesn't seem to have the effect upon my life, when in reality we're simply living in defiance of God's truth. We've got to be honest. We must allow the truth of God's Word to be established in our souls. And the power of God will transform our lives. We're often like that ship's captain. We want the course changed, and we demand that the course would be changed to meet our needs. We want to set the course of our own lives regardless of what the captain of our own faith desires. And the Lord often will let us. But verse 17 reminds us, look at it one last time. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened." Listen, don't have your... This is... God's Word is light. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There is no point in us going through life in darkness. God has given us His Word. And He says, here it is. But you must receive it as truth. Just as when we got saved, we realized when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so we receive Christ as our Savior, but now we're to walk in truth. As we walk in newness of life, we take the Word of God and we live the Word of God and we embrace the Word of God and we become obedient to the Word of God and we don't rebel against the Word of God. And when we have that mindset, we won't be perfect. We'll still have our shortcomings and our failures. But now the power of God can rest upon us. We can work with the power of God and by God's grace and by God's mercy and make changes and make a transformation in our life. And truly then we can be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. But embrace God's Word as truth. Embrace it as truth. Don't pick and choose, or else it'll have little impact upon your life. Listen, in my years in ministry, I've met people who have memorized all kinds of scriptures. I remember years ago, I had a man who came and criticized me. Because sometimes if I'd quote a scripture, sometimes in the heat of the preaching, you'd quote a scripture, and sometimes you might leave a word out. Now, the word that might have gotten left out, it didn't change the meaning of the scripture or anything like that. But he'd come and, you know, you have to say it exactly like this, or you're changing the word of God, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And several times he'd come, and he'd want to have a big meeting with me and talk about that. And he had all kinds of scripture memorized. And then in the end, this man was in gross immorality. Gross sin. He had no desire to walk in truth. So you can be a great scripture memorizer, but if you're just because you know the Bible, just because you have it memorized, if you're not making an application to your life, if you're not being obedient to it, you're really still in rebellion against God, and the power of God can't rest upon you. Well, I've had husbands who they memorized Ephesians really well. Husbands, where it says in Ephesians chapter six. Just turn over to Ephesians chapter six. I've had this happen as well, or Ephesians chapter five, where I've had husbands come and they would say, "Look, you know, the Bible says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. So, Mama, you need to do what I say, and be what I say, and go what I say." And but then they forget that it says in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it." That he laid down, Jesus did, he laid down his life for you and I. So it's easy sometimes to pick and choose and just do what we want to do and kind of set our own course. No. We need to take the Word of God, and we need to let the Word of God have free reign in our hearts and be under the conviction and the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the power of God can rest upon us. The joy of the Lord can rest upon us. The love of Christ can rest upon us. But we must accept His Word as truth, an unbending truth. That is the same yesterday, that is the same today, and that will be the same tomorrow. Amen? And that's how our minds are renewed. We replace our thinking with God's thinking. Remember what it says in the book of Philippians, "And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It's right here. Right here, it's God's mind, it's His thoughts. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. This morning, with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, maybe you would just take a minute where you sit and just spend some time, get alone with the Lord and say, "Lord, just help me to, as I read the Scriptures, as I look at the Scriptures, to accept them as they are, as truth, an unchanging truth. That I would be open and willing to allow you to bring conviction and guidance and direction through your word. That I won't be a rebel with regards to being obedient to the word. That I won't be that one that says, well, I can obey God in this area, but I don't know about this area. Oh no, that we would just rest upon His power to help us change. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And you might just spend some time and say, Lord, I need that in my life. Just help me to live for You, to be obedient to Your Word, to be open to Your Word. Allow Your Word to transform me. Your Word in conjunction with Your Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, that's the most important decision any person can make in their lives. That they would receive Christ. That they would realize that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And they would call upon Jesus. And maybe as you have sat here under the preaching this morning, the Holy Spirit brought that conviction to your heart and you say, you know, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not sure that I'm saved. But God has been speaking to my heart about that this morning, and I'd like to receive Christ as my Savior. If that's you, would you just stick up your hand quickly, anyone at all? That's me, preacher. I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I'd like to speak to someone about that. And if you're a gal, one of our ladies, if you're a fella, one of our men will speak to you about that. Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Anyone at all? Slip up your hand and put it down. Christian, the power of God. God's not going to give a power to a rebel. He's not going to give His power to a rebel. Be obedient to His Word. Embrace it. Love it. Learn it. Lean on it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. That means acknowledging His Word. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. You don't have to walk in darkness. He will be that light. He will be that lamp. The torch that you and I so desperately need as we walk through this life. Father, bless now the invitation. Let it bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.